Father, again, we just want to thank you for bringing us here together. As always, we believe there's a divine purpose when we gather together, and we do so in your name, as we've been singing about earlier. And Lord, that's our intention this morning, is to hear from you. Lord, we ask, Lord, we know you're going to be speaking to us, but Lord, we just ask that our spiritual ears, our hearts, would just be open to receive everything that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, we're beginning a study. This is third or fourth week now, on the book of Ephesians. And we're going to probably be in Ephesians most of this year. Although that doesn't mean that we may not take a break here or there. But we're not taking a break today. The last 2 weeks, we've been in the first three verses of chapter 1. And one thing we talked about last week that we'll be talking again about is, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? And, in Christ Jesus, I think there might be a slide up there there we go. We talked about it last week that one of the things that Jesus has done, God has done, is he has raised us up with him, and he's placed us in the heavenly places in him. And this place in Christ Jesus, we see it repeated often in the New Testament and very often in the book of Ephesians. And in Christ is when we give our life to the Lord. He raises us up. He puts us in the heavenly places. That's our position. But it's more than just a position. It's a reality. Because it's when we are in Christ Jesus that we are blessed, as verse 3 says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Nothing's excluded from that. Every spiritual blessing. And we put up just a few things: no more condemnation, the kingdom of God, forgiveness, eternal life. All that becomes ours as we are placed in Christ. Okay? And I think another thing we pointed out last week that's very important is verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." That's a past tense. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay? So this week we're going to kind of go a little bit further. Let's kind of jump down to verse 4. It says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Okay, let's stop there. That's an amazing declaration that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. I mean, to think that the King and Creator of this whole, not just whole world, but this whole universe. I mean, he made every bird, he made every flower. We're told that there's no two snowflakes that are just alike. He designed that. He did all that, and yet he planned and designed you before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us. This week I was trying to think of examples of being chosen, because we all like to be chosen. And I know when I was a kid, and I think there's a version of this pretty much in every culture, but a bunch of the kids in the neighborhood, we get together to play football or baseball. And usually the two oldest kids, they would pick sides. They would choose sides. So everyone kind of get around, and someone would say, "Okay, I take Judy." Then they'd say, "I take Gabrielle," you know. And then, you know, "I take Nelson. I take Dirk," you know, "Jesus," you know. And of course, I always kind of felt bad for the people who are left over, you know. I mean, they get chosen, but they kind of get chosen as, you know, sometimes it'd be, "Okay, you're going to flip a coin for the last two." You know, I mean, actually, kids can be brutal, can't they? I mean, but if you are chosen, like the two oldest kids are fighting over you because they want to say, you know, I want Lonnie. No, I want Lonnie. You know, okay, let's flip a coin. Okay, we start. Okay, I get Lonnie. You know, okay, then I get Nelson, you know, and then it kind of goes on. But, you know, it makes you feel good to feel chosen. Or maybe, what if you're at work and you get a message to report to the boss in his office? You think, oh, no, what did I do now? And you go in there and he tells you, listen, we've been watching you and you've been chosen for a very special assignment next month. You know, I'm going to send you to Mexico City for a job. And I'm going to give you a bonus too, or whatever it happens to be. You know, you feel like, wow, I was chosen. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? Well, usually when we're chosen here in this world, it's because we've done something right, or they think we're going to do something right, like be on my football team, you know. But with God, He chose us. It's completely different. He chose us before we were born, before your parents were born, before the world was created, He chose you. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, He has not... Choosing means that He planned you. He has planned you since the foundation of the world. I mean, think about that. God in eternity past was thinking about how He has a great idea. It's called Miguel. And He's thinking about how He wants to make Miguel. I'm planning him. And then He thinks, okay, when am I going to have him be born? Okay, he's going to be born in... ¿Cuándo naciste? Okay, ¿qué año? Okay, 80. Okay, in 1980, in October, he's going to be born. You know? And, you know, I'm going to have to wait a long time before he's born. But I've been planning him. You know? He's known you. He's created you. After he planned you, all this was... before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's hard to understand that. You know, by the way, does God make mistakes? No. Okay, let's say it louder. Does He make mistakes? No. Okay. That means He didn't make a mistake when He created you and when He planned you. You know, He placed you exactly in the right year, 1980, or in my case, 1990. No, a little bit before that, he 1890, that's it. You know, he planned the exact year. He planned the exact family that you were to be born in. He decided, I wonder what language should I make her? Okay, maybe Arabic or maybe Spanish or French or English. He knew all that. He was thinking about it. He planned it. You know, he planned what town you'd be born in. Is it going to be a big city? Is it going to be in some pueblito? You know, a little some small town. He knew all that, and he had a reason for all of it. He actually decided what you were going to look like. You know, he didn't want us all to look the same. So sometimes he might kind of make one of our noses a little bit kind of this way, or maybe kind of make our ears a little bit bigger or something, or, you know, maybe their teeth are maybe not quite so straight. And he planned all that. And you know what? Among us, we kind of say, oh, she's pretty when she looks like this, or he's handsome this, or he's cute. You know what? God thinks all of us are cute. Or, I don't know about guys, but anyway, he thinks we look just right because He planned us that way. And you know what? God doesn't make a mistake. You know, He doesn't make any mistakes. And it's not like he thought, oh no, Gabriel is going to be born today. Oh, what should I do? I don't know. I don't have time to think about this. Just make him like this. No, he's been thinking about Gabriel since before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. And it should make you feel good. And it made the church in Ephesus feel good. Now, this isn't the only place that He talks about what He was planning at the foundation of the world. Let's look at Matthew 13, 35. And I think there's a slide up there. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Did you know that there's mysteries? That's one way God, spiritual mysteries that God also planned from the foundation of the world. And He was going to have us, He was going to have those mysteries revealed to us. Or how about Matthew 25, verse 34? It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father. Another way to put that, you have been chosen of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Did you know that we have an inheritance? It's the kingdom of God. And how long has he been preparing that kingdom? From the foundation of the world. He's had it all planned. Or Revelation 13. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. And again, it says that in Revelation 17. Actually, even your name was written in the book of life since the foundation of the world. Now, it's hard to explain that because we're also told that he writes it in the book of life when we give our life to the Lord. But it's almost like he knows it ahead of time. You can look at it this way. He's already penciled it in or written it in. And then when you give your life to the Lord, it's kind of like a check. Okay, he's made that decision just like I knew he was. Or Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship. That means we are his masterpiece. He didn't make a mistake. Created in Christ Jesus. By the way, there's that in Christ Jesus. For good works. And what about these good works? Which God prepared beforehand so that you would walk in them. He has prepared works for every one of us. And the works that he's prepared for me is different from the works that he's prepared for Anna. Or for Richard. Or Eric. Or Alejandra or Bobby. It's different. And he has works planned for every one of us. Designed just for you to participate in. And they're sprinkled all throughout your life. Actually, every day. Some of them are going to be big things. Some of them are going to be small things. Maybe just a word of encouragement. Maybe a telephone call to someone. He has made those works since before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us for a purpose. For what purpose? Yeah, all the works that he's done. But it also says, we're going back to verse 4, Ephesians 1. Just as he chose us in him. Oh, by the way, there's that in him. Before the foundation of the world. That what? That we would be holy and blameless before him. That's his eternal purpose for us. That we'd be holy and blameless. Now, we're not going to get there completely 100% in this lifetime. But when we see Jesus face to face, we will be. And that's what he wants. He's more interested in that, even more than the works that we do. In fact, he's designed it that a lot of the works that come forth from us come forth from a life of growing in holiness. That we would be like him. That we'd be Christ-like. Romans 8, 29. Most of us are very familiar with Romans 8, 28. About how God has caused all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then he says, for those whom he foreknew, that means those he kind of knew beforehand, like before the foundation of the world, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. He wants us to be like him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about things like this, I feel good inside. Actually, Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm. We won't have time to read the whole thing, but it's a psalm that talks about how God has known me from the very beginning. Let's jump down to verse 13. I think that's where we kind of have here. Yeah. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." God takes credit for that. So if you don't like the way you look, maybe you wanted brown eyes instead of blue eyes or blonde hair. You know, God has a reason. He formed you. And then he says, "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have been wonderfully made? That's the way God sees it. Wonderful are your works. You know, we sing that. There's songs that we sing. Wonderful are your works. Did you know that people are part of his works? You are part of his works? You're wonderful. That's what God says. And my soul knows it very well. I hope so. Because sometimes we live in a world, we've talked about this before, where the enemy comes in here and says, "Oh, your life is all messed up. You know, you've blown it. You know, you'll never amount to anything. I mean, just look at you." You know, and we can't listen to that. God says something different. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." You are skillfully made by God. He doesn't make any mistakes. "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." He saw me. He had a picture of me in his mind before I was born. And I like this. "And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Before you're even born, not only did God have a picture of you in his mind, and he kind of been thinking about you, but he had all your days ordained. How many, what you'd be doing, the good works that he kind of has for you. He had all that planned. Does that make you feel good? Actually, look back in verse 6. I don't think it's up there, but it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I can't attain to it. I can't even get my arms around it." We need to be thankful that we've been chosen by him, that we would be holy and blameless. God has it. You know, if we really understand this, you know what? All our anxieties, all our fears should just melt away. Because I realize, hey, God's got my days ordained. He knows what he's doing. And I'm trying to follow him the best I can. You know what? I feel secure. And you know, it makes me want to worship him. In fact, that's what happens, you know, in the Psalms. David is just worshiping God because he sees this knowledge is too wonderful for me. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians 1. The last part of verse 4. "In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself." Okay, he's predestined us to be sons and daughters. Now, a lot of people get tripped up over this word predestined. But predestined implies that we have a destiny, right? It means that before you have the destiny, he kind of pre-saw it. Now, I know that the word destiny is used by all sorts of people, including very flaky people. Okay, I was going to wonder how you think, I don't know. You know, I've got this destiny. I can feel it in my bones or something like that. You know, all that came from the Bible because God was the author of destiny. Now, just because someone says they've got a destiny doesn't mean that they do. But for us, those who've been chosen in Christ Jesus, like us, we do have a destiny. And it's a biblical idea. It's God's idea. And the destiny that He has for us is unique. That means nobody has yours except for you. Not even someone over in China. You know, there's what, 7 billion people now? Is that right? Or 7 or 6? We just passed one of those. 7, that's what I thought. There's 7 billion people, and there's been about 6 billion people who've lived so far. There's more people today alive than who've ever died. So out of the 13 billion people, not one person has the same destiny as you. It is unique. You know, the destiny that He has for us. Not only that, but it is significant. That means it's going to affect people for eternity. It's not just something that 3 days later doesn't make a difference. It has eternal consequences. Your destiny. And the destiny that He has for you is amazing. I mean, you can't even understand it. In fact, you probably won't understand how amazing it is until you get to heaven. It is too wonderful. As David says, you know, in Psalm 1, it's too wonderful for you to understand. You've got to realize that. We've got to receive that. There's Christians, and we won't talk about this so much today, but it's possible as a Christian, you can live your own selfish, self-centered life and not even get into the destiny that God has for you. Now, let's say this too. Let's don't be fooled into thinking that your destiny is going to be widely known here on this earth. It may not. You know, it may. It may not. On this side of eternity. On the other side of eternity, it may be different. I believe when we reach heaven, we're going to see so much more of what we did. You know, by the way, all the mistakes we made will be all erased away. Now, hopefully, all your life won't be erased. You know, I don't have anything to show for it. But it says that our works will be tested by fire. So, all the mistakes, you think, oh man, I really blew it that time. We won't have to worry about that. But you will find out little things that made a difference. Imagine, you're in heaven now. People are coming up to you because we have all eternity, and we're going to see all the big picture. People will be coming up to you and talking to you and say, I just want to thank you. You know, maybe it's Cindy and Monica. They're in heaven, not anytime soon. But, you know, someone comes up to them. And, you know, actually, there's a lot of people behind him. And they want to meet you. And they're from Timbuktu. You know where Timbuktu is, don't you? It's in Central Africa, south of the Sahara Desert. And recently, the only way you could get to it was to fly by airplane or go by camel across the Sahara Desert or something. You know, and they come up to you, maybe Cindy and Monica, for example. And they say, we just want to thank you. You know, we just want to thank you that we're here in eternity because of you. And Cindy said, I think there's a mistake here. I don't even know where Timbuktu is. You know? And then Monica kind of looks down in the bowl that he's kind of eating, looks in it, says, I know, I've never been there before. That's not mole, I know that. You know? But anyway, you go, no. I've got to thank you. Well, why? Well, because our church was started from a man who came from Algeria in north, way up in North Africa. I've never been to Algeria either. No, but I researched it. You know, the church that sent me, they were started by another church in Algeria. I've never been in Algeria. I promise you I never have. Yeah, I know, but that church was started by some church in Paris. And now it's seeming maybe a little bit more familiar. And yeah, because your church sent someone over and taught the church in Paris how to kind of plant churches that reproduce. But that wasn't me. But I understand. I know it was a guy named Mike. He's not all that important. But I understand that. That you helped organize, some dinners for a couple years in Frisco that kind of helped raise money to help kind of support that and for that to happen. And you think, well, that wasn't really anything. I was just kind of doing it to serve. Yeah, but I'm going to thank you. I need to thank you because you're part of that chain that brought me to the Lord. That's the way it's going to be. We'll see all the little things. Pat will get to heaven. And a family comes up from Siberia, a small town in Siberia. And they're thanking him. I don't know anything about this. But then he finds out that, oh no, that there's a Russian man living in Summit County for 1 year. And you know what? Pat just had a burden to pray for this guy. He kept seeing him. He lived down the street from him. He kept praying for him. In fact, he invited him to come to church one time. And he did, gave his life to the Lord. Then he kind of disappeared. Pat just thought he'd fallen away from the Lord. But no, he went back to Moscow. And then his brother kind of came. He shared with his brother. And then his brother got a job to go to Siberia. And his brother kind of shared with everyone there in Siberia. And 80 people came to know the Lord. Pat was part of the reason. Now you might be saying, yeah, but it doesn't really happen like that, does it? I believe so. Because if you think about it, every one of us, we are in eternity because of someone else or because of a group of people. We don't know. We might know who actually led us to the Lord, but we don't know who led them to the Lord or what motivated them or, you know, the Sunday school teacher that they had. Or it's all interconnected. All of it is in a beautiful way. You think, yeah, but how can it all be kind of all that connected? Because God planned it from the foundation of the world. He's had a lot of time to think about how he was going to do it. And he's got you in the picture. And by the way, if Jesus doesn't come back for another 100 years, the things that you do may have an effect on a handful of people, who have an effect on another handful of people. It may go on for thousands of people. Because of you, something you did, you prayed for someone, you shared with someone, you taught the children, you know, and maybe someone comes in, maybe for 2 or 3 weeks in the children's class. Maybe they're a little bit like a little rowdy, and you didn't think they heard anything, but you planted a seed, and they come out, they end up being evangelists 20 years from now. You don't know. You don't know what God's doing. He's got a destiny for us. And it's hard for us humans to see that. But when we get to heaven, when we get to eternity, the other side of eternity, we're going to find out a lot of things that we thought were not that big became big things. And I have a feeling that what's going to be celebrated in heaven isn't going to be this crusade or this revival meeting or this or that. I mean, God, that's going to all be part of it. But it's probably going to be a lot of little things that all of us are doing every day because we're listening to the Lord. And we see that we have a destiny and we're trying as much as we humanly can to tap into what God has for us that day. Is this making sense? Because this is very, very important for us to see this. If you start living your life this way, as if you had a destiny, because you do, it will affect you. You'll have your eyes open. Everyone you see, I wonder if there's a divine purpose in this. You go to the store, you're checking out. I wonder if there's a divine purpose in this. You never know. But God does. That's why it's a walk by faith. By the way, what we invest in our children and grandchildren, it's the little things that are going to bring the big things down the road. And the big things are people spend eternity with God the Father. Okay. We're not getting very far here. Okay, but that's okay. I told you it'd take us a year. Okay, verse 5, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. He's adopted us. We are so important to him. He decided to adopt us. Not only did he choose you, not only did he plan you, not only did he create you, but he also figured, this person is so special that I created, I want them part of my family. I want to adopt them. That's right. You know, Romans 8, verse 15, there's other places, but here's one place that talks about, Romans 15, that won't help us. Romans 8. Kings 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. That's not what God has in mind for us. Slavery, fear should not be part of our life. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Father, Abba was sort of the familiar word for father, like daddy. That's the way. He's not like a father that's way up there that has no relationship with us. But he's adopting us. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We'll talk more about that later on in Ephesians 1. If indeed we suffer with him, we'll probably talk about that too a little bit, so that we may also be glorified with him. He's adopted us. I mean, imagine 400 years ago, you're living as a peasant somewhere in Europe. Life is hard, very predictable. You get up at 5, you work all day, you come home, you eat some porridge, and then you go to bed because you're exhausted. That's your life. At age 27, you get a message, a letter from the king. He wants to see you. It turns out you've been chosen to be adopted by the king. You think, I think there's a mistake. No, is this your name? Yeah. Is this your address? Yeah. Then you've been adopted. All of a sudden, they say, get your family, leave your things here, you get new things. You'll get new clothes and everything. Take you to the palace, the king's embracing you, gives you a room there. This is the dining hall. I want you to eat with me, dine with me every day. He's going to take care of you, take care of your family. You say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, you know what? It's even more unreal what's really happened. That God Almighty, the creator of the universe, has decided to adopt us. See, this is all the stuff that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to get back to what I kind of shared. I think it was 2 weeks ago or maybe last week. You might say, yeah, but that's not the life I'm living. Well, if not, it's because you just haven't appropriated it, or you haven't received it. You know, that same peasant could kind of say, get out of here. You're out of your mind. And the messenger says, well, here's the certificate of adoption. Here's your new address. Here's all this. I'll leave it with you. And you kind of take it and you kind of throw it on a shelf. And you keep living the rest of your life to when you're 45 years old, because you're dying at 45 because malnutrition, work. You could live the rest of your life there and never go there. And I think that's what a lot of Christians do. Ephesians teaches us how we can live the way we've been chosen and called to live. Does that mean that there's not going to be suffering? Yes, there will be suffering. We just read that in Romans 8. Will there be difficulties? Yes, there will be. But He'll be our Father in all this because He's adopted us. He'll protect us. He'll watch over us. He'll have a destiny. He does have a destiny for us. Let's kind of read on here. Okay, He, in love, I like that. In love, He predestined us to adoption. In other words, he didn't just, He loved us so much that He wanted to adopt us. I think that's very important. You know, it's not like, well, I'm God, I guess I need to kind of have pity for Mike here, so I'll adopt him. No, it's because He loved Mike so much. Now, I might kind of think, why? Because He sees what I'm going to be for all of eternity. Not just what I am in this sinful human flesh. He sees the bigger picture. He sees 10,000 years from now and 2 million years from now. And He loves me. And so He adopted me because of His love. Doesn't that make you feel secure? Okay. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, just because in His kindness, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in Christ. You know, the grace that He freely bestowed on us. I think we talked about God's grace once before. I think there's an illustration here of just God. When it talks about He bestowed grace on us, or in Ephesians 2, verse 7, it talks about that He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, of course. You know, He just pours out His grace upon us. He showers us. It's not a trickle. That's the grace that He's poured on us to live this life. And it's a life that we need to start receiving and living by faith. True, we're going to understand and experience all this in fullness on the other side of eternity. But He wants us to start in this lifetime. Why? Because He has a destiny for us. He predestined us for purposes. Because He knows that what happens in this short, short lifetime will affect all of eternity. Not just for us, but for everyone around us. And so He's decided to let us live in this sinful, corrupt world in order to share this message of hope with others. That others can participate and live in eternity. And that's our destiny. To, as a team, as a church, as families, whatever, as individuals, we are here on this earth to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.